John Smith, once again, welcome to the Mouthcast.
Hey, Steve.
How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, sir. Good.
It's been 4 years since we last podcasted together, can you believe? That was around the time of your previous album, Great Lakes. And the new one, Headlong, is out in a couple of weeks. Before we talk, we'll listen to something from it. This is the recent single, Far Too Good.
www.themouthmagazine.com.
Your dream, somewhere you wanna go, or someone to be. What of those desires? What hunger to sate? How high the fire? Are you gonna make yourself unhappy? Are you gonna let it run you? Far too good for keeping down. I know your problem. It's clear to see, though I find I am useless. What happened to doing? Did you feel it just wasn't worth the effort? Are you gonna make yourself? Are you gonna let it run you around? Let me hold on as you unravel, even though you don't want me around. But sure there must be something, anything I can do. Sometimes I get to thinking I just made it worse.
John, that was Far Too Good from the new album Headlong. It's a very confident album, assured in all the right ways, some of your wonderful songwriting and playing. I'm guessing that the reaction to Great Lakes set you up for this next one.
Yeah, it certainly bolstered my confidence no end, you know. And getting on the radio and playing the number of shows that I did, I suddenly felt like, yeah, this is going to work. There are people out there who want to hear this. So I felt with this album confident that if nothing else, at least a few dozen more people would want to hear it and maybe even buy it. So it was good going in, you know.
Because you'd struggled with writer's block, as I recall, leading up to Great Lakes. Does the writing come naturally to you anyway, or is it something that you have to hunker down and push, if you like?
I have to clear my mind for sure and try and, you know, it's like wiping the table clean before you can draw anything. You know, you need to make sure your sort of environment is free of distractions. And I just found that with this album, I was in a clear frame of mind. I had a space around me and time, and it all happened really quickly once I committed to it. You know, like the album just took a few months to write, but it wasn't pained and it wasn't difficult. It just felt good. I began writing on tour because I signed up to play guitar in a couple of different bands for a couple of years. You know, I was playing lead guitar for David Gray and Leanne LaHavas. And so I found myself on tour days not having to drive and not having to do accounts. I was just there as a hired gun. So I had a few hours every day and I would just go and walk around, take a notepad, do a little writing. And I found that when I got home after that really intense period of touring, I sat at my table and I had most of it written and ready to go. So I just everything together and dug out my notes on my dictaphone and assembled it, and it suddenly felt like a pretty realistic situation.
I asked that really because your music has always seemed effortlessly beautiful. I wondered whether that was very clever.
Very sweet of you to say.
Well, you're welcome. I wondered whether that was very clever and very skilled crafting, or whether the music tumbles out of you.
Oh, I don't really know. I think some of the what I consider to be my best ideas have happened in a quite tumbly fashion. You know, they've just sort of occurred, and I've managed to catch them before they got away. But most of the time, I spend a lot of time, hours and days, figuring out arrangements and guitar parts and practicing them and getting them right before I commit to playing them to other people.
Are there particular things that you look for when you're writing? You know, is there a moment where you think, yeah, this is a John Smith song? Because I know you're a fan of all different types of music, not least metal, if I remember rightly. So I wondered, what was the benchmark for the solo stuff?
Actually, with this album, since Great Lakes, I've really been in search of a good chorus and a good hook, because I had this mind-bending revelation that if I wrote a song with a good chorus, it would stand a chance of getting played on the radio, and then I would stand a chance of paying my bills on time.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought, Jesus, this could actually be a career, right? Because I've never given any thought to the long term. And then suddenly I felt like this was something that could well see me into the rest of my life. And I suppose there's nothing else I want to do and nothing else that I can do in a meaningful way. So I just thought, well, I've got these songs. They feel like they've got hooks. They feel like they've got choruses. And it feels like people respond to those songs. You know, Salty and Sweet and Great Lakes, those songs off the last record are the ones that people always shout out for.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought, you know, for this record, I'm going to get rid of the introspective, difficult songs that I've always enjoyed but haven't really, you know, connected with people in such a meaningful way. And I'm just going to try and write some hooks. And I put that kind of hat on. And it actually felt really good, man, trying to write songs that people can sing.
Yeah. Those introspective songs may well have connected with people, but they've just kept quiet about it.
Well, there's still a couple on there. I've managed to hide a couple somewhere at the end of the record. There's a couple of nice, quiet, meditative numbers that I, you know, the kind of music that I enjoy that maybe other people don't necessarily enjoy.
Well, you mentioned radio, and the opening track of the album, "Living in Disgrace," is what some would term a very radio-friendly sound. I think I was actually surprised when I first listened to it. Not that it's so many miles from anything else that you've done on this record, but there was a distinct textural sheen to it, if you like, without compromising what it is that people know that John Smith is about. So as you say, that was obviously a conscious move.
I think perhaps it will take people by surprise, but I hope that people will still get the fact that it's one of my songs. I just thought, man, you know what, I want as many people to hear what I do as possible, so I'm going to record it in a way that people will be able to get into a little more quickly. And it felt, Once I'd sort of made that decision, it felt really comfortable, actually. And I just brought along with it a lot of other stuff that I've been wanting to do, which was to play a lot more electric guitar and have a lot more straightforward, really, really nice, tight grooves on an album. And, you know, suddenly I was just like listening to Dire Straits in my car going, God, I forgot how much I love Mark Knopfler, and I'm going to take my Strat out and I'm going to put it all over this record. And it felt great, honestly.
Yeah.
But really, really good. It may sound sort of like I've made a very cynical decision to try and get on the radio, it's more actually that I just have made a more critical decision to try and get heard by more people because, you know, I'm in my 30s now and I'm probably halfway through my life and I want to make it count. You know, each record takes a lot of time and money and I just want to get heard by as many people as possible.
It's interesting that you mentioned Dire Straits there because texturally this record made me think of Richard Thompson actually. There's some heavy stuff going on thematically, but there's a real breeze about the record. There's some air in it.
Thank you. Yeah, Richard Thompson is one of my real guitar playing touchstones at the minute. It's quite natural, I think. You know, you hear something that sounds to you like your frame of reference, of course, it's the first thing you're going to do is go, oh, I know this because it sounds like this. As long as you're not saying to me, you know, wow, that sounds like Peter Andre, then I'm fine.
Funnily enough.
I can live with it, man.
Well, the track Joanna, it sounds like you've had an interesting 4 years since Great Lakes. Clearly, there's a real troubadour life going on here, as this song in particular seems to be about that push-pull of being constantly on the road, but also having something settled and definite back on home shores. Do you feel itinerant, or is touring merely a couple of weeks away?
No, I always have been. I rarely think about what I'm doing in the present moment, to be honest. And it's a failing that I'm constantly trying to overcome. But it's also, you know, I reconcile it with my nature. That's always what I've been about, is just sort of moving around. My family moved around when I was little. I've moved house maybe 30 times in my life.
Right, okay.
I've always moved around as an adult. That's the thought of staying in one place for a long time horrifies me, actually.
Right,
I can't get my head around it.
That's really interesting. Where does that come from, do you think? Obviously, moving around in childhood, but do you get bored easily? Is that what you mean?
I do. Yeah. But as I get older, I'm going to recognise what's good and have to make that work within my itinerant, you know, rambling ways.
Yeah, and I guess that's what that song is about, exactly that. There's that thing about Bono. When U2 return from tours, his wife makes him live in a hotel out of his suitcase for about a month and gradually sort of integrate back into normal life, to the family routine, I guess. When you've been away, do you... Because you live in Brighton, don't you? When you get back to Brighton...
No, well, not anymore. I live in Somerset now.
Right, okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. So since we last met, you've moved, yeah.
I've moved house three times since last we spoke. Four times, in fact.
Okay.
Wales, Liverpool, back to Brighton, and now to Somerset.
Crikey! When you've been away, do you feel the need to decompress, if you like? Do you kind of shut off the music stuff and just do the pub and the graphic novels and the Marvel and DC films and all of that stuff?
Not so much anymore. I don't seem to have much time on my hands. I just, when I get home, I try and get 8 hours sleep, get up, get showered and get on with whatever I've got to do in the house. I find getting straight back into normal life is the most useful thing. Yeah, I cook, man. If I've got a day off at home after a tour, I'll go shopping and buy a bunch of food and spend a day cooking, and that kind of sorts my head out.
What's your specialty?
Curries.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I am a, though I say so myself, a dangerous man with a karai and a ladle.
Excellent. I mean, I think I want to ask you the same thing about making a record, actually, this intense period of creativity. When that's over, or when the record could be considered finished, do you need to decompress then? Is there a sort of grief process, if you like? These are your kids and they're about to leave home.
Yeah, kind of. There's a very real catharsis to writing a set of songs that you care about that speak of your state of mind. And then once you reconcile with that and you hand it over to be mixed and then you hand it over to be mastered and it gets further away from you. People put their own spin on things and that's what you pay them for. That's what they do. You know, I can't mix or master records. I don't understand how it works. So I bring in people that I trust. They do it. And then suddenly it's ready to give over to people. And now it's promotional copies of the CD are going out all over the world and suddenly it's none of my business anymore, you know. And now it's up to other people what they think of it. So it's weird. It slips away from you gradually until suddenly it comes back to you in the form of an audience member singing the words along, you know, and suddenly you get to know the song in a different way.
Yeah,
it's a weird exchange, man. And if it goes well, then you get back everything that you put into it.
Before we go, I mentioned the song Joanna, and it has actually my favourite line from the album, which is, I promised to abandon my search for an early grave. Yeah. I was really struck by that. Having, spoken to you a couple of times and met, I wouldn't consider you a person who was particularly searching for an early grave, but I don't know, perhaps in the past few years you've been indulging in, I don't know, dangerous outdoor sports.
No, I quit taking drugs and I cut down on drinking because I found better things in life. So that's what that line is about.
It's as simple as that.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
Yeah.
That's basically it, man.
All right. So in your body of work, John, to sign off, where does this album sit for you, bearing in mind the efforts required to get through the writer's block? Was Great Lakes transitional to this one, or is this a kind of...
Yeah.
I'm
extremely grateful for the whole Great Lakes experience, the whole process. It changed my life completely.
Yeah.
I went from playing to 150 people in basement venues around the UK to playing to 1,000 people in the Union Chapel and 400 people in Vienna. I mean, it completely changed everything. And in terms of writing, it allowed me to, you know, as I say, write songs actually that I feel confident about and that I think people might want to listen to. And it allowed me to abandon what I had maybe hid behind previously, which was this sort of mythic standpoint of a certain amount of invention and hiding behind characters, because I didn't quite know, though I'm not ashamed of any of my previous work, and I stand behind it all, I do feel like I didn't quite know how to express myself. And actually, the response to Great Lakes just sort of emboldened me. And I feel like with this album, it's probably, it perhaps sounds arrogant or pompous to say this, but I think it's the best stuff I've done. You know, I think they're the best songs I've written. So I feel like Great Lakes brought me to this point, you know, and I just hope that, other people will like the record. We'll see.
They will. I'm sure. I'm absolutely confident of that. John Smith, thank you very much for your time.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for yours.
Sunset over Medford, tall Oregon pine, on my way to the next engagement with Joanna on my... Minding my own business, too much for some. I fight with the wrong guy in the wrong bar. Maybe altogether in the wrong lifetime. Joanna doesn't worry, though she's half the world away. She's alright, long as I ring home every 6 or 7 days. Cause I know her, and she knows me too. She told me, said, if there's anything she can do, I must call her, and the earth will move. She'll come running, and I will make it through. There's trouble at the border. Something about my face must be worrying him. There's this funny kind of sadness pushes and pulls you around all at the same time. Between this old road and that new country, I'll be satisfied. Joanna doesn't worry, though she's half the world away. She's alright, I promise to abandon my search for an early grave. Cause I know her, and she knows me too. And she told me, said, if there's anything she can do, I must call her, and the earth will move. She'll come running, and I will make it through. And I will raise my hand up to the sky. Just a billion years behind, I will hold those light years in my
was all right.
www.themouthmagazine.com